Hello and good afternoon, my friends. This is Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas, a very cold downtown Tyler, Texas. We have had, by Texas standards, by pretty much most anyone standards, I think, very cold nights, not much warm up during the day, although that's going to change. One more very cold night tonight. The actual temperature in the morning is supposed to be 18. That's 1-8, and that is cold by this San Antonio boy standards. But then we might warm up for a little bit, and no, we didn't get any snow here in Northeast Texas, but in Southeast Texas, they got a bunch. And so glad that all of that happened and hope that you enjoyed that. Doesn't happen very often down that way, but what a blessing it is to live in such a beautiful, beautiful world. Hello to my dear friends, Cindy and Eric. Nice to have you joining along. I know there will be others that will be watching live or later, and that's wonderful. You can catch them on my Facebook page, on the West Irwin Live page, or the West Irwin Church of Christ Facebook pages. Those show up after I'm finished when I share them from my page, and on our West Irwin website at westirwin.com on our live streaming part. So glad to have you joining in. We are in 1 Peter. We have been looking at and talking about this marvelous letter as Peter begins to a bunch of exiles that are living away from their homeland. These are probably primarily Jewish Christians, although there are some Gentiles among them as well. And they were forced out of the area of modern-day Israel and are now living in probably central, north central, western modern-day Turkey. And Peter writes to them and encourages them because they are being very strongly persecuted. And that is, persecution is a term that means for their faith, they are being punished and they have no social power. They are at the bottom of the rung, at bottom of the ladder. And Peter writes to them and says, hey, look, there are some things that your enemies and those who are opposed to Jesus Christ and to the Church of Jesus Christ, there are some things that they cannot take away. And that's where we get into 1 Peter chapter 1. We have looked at a few verses already as he writes to them and calls them exiles, resident immigrants, I like to call them. And because they're there and they're going to be there for a while, but again, that's not their permanent home. Our permanent home, as is our hope, is in the presence of God and our Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. And that's where Peter rather starts in 1 Peter chapter 1. We get down to verse 3, and he says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. As we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks, our hope is a living hope. And it's a living hope because the tomb is empty. It's a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope, the living hope of our own resurrections as well. And what a blessing that is. No matter what your social standing, no matter what your economic situation, your personal physical health, none of that matters, nor does anything else that can take away our living hope. Of course, it's important. Of course, it matters from that perspective. But at the same time, it is seen through the lens of our living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he speaks of that inheritance being kept in heaven for us. And that leads us to the second part of this great passage. And that starts in verse 5. And that is not just our hope, but our faith. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We understand that we live by faith, not by sight. Paul affirms that in 2 Corinthians 5. He talks about that resurrection. He talks about our bodies being changed and becoming eternal. But he says, we're not there yet. And so for now, we live by faith and not by sight. One day we will have that sight, but for now, we live by faith. Hebrews 11 is the great honor roll of faith, the great chapter that defines faith as that assurance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things that we cannot even see. Faith is not sight. And we accept some things by faith. I'm kind of old, but I wasn't there when Jesus was killed. And when people were going to the tomb to take a look, I'm afraid I wasn't with them. That would have been glorious. But I do believe those eyewitness records, and I do believe in the inspired and authoritative Word of God, which has proven itself time and time again as a very credible, authoritative Word from God. And that talks about what those eyewitnesses said. They shared about the resurrection. It was in the city where Jesus had been killed and buried, Jerusalem. It happened 3 days later. They began talking about the resurrection. The church began 2 months after Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And in spite of everything, less than 2 months actually, and in spite of everything they did to try to squelch this Christianity thing, they thought they were done when they crucified Jesus. And then all of a sudden, there was this story that he had been raised from the dead. The tomb was empty. They paid off the guards, the Roman soldiers, and yet they could never produce the body. They could never go to the tomb and say, look, there's the body right there, or find the disciples and discover that they had captured Jesus, which was ridiculous. And so that was the story, and I guess they were sticking to it, but it made no sense, and it was far-fetched. And the story that the disciples told, and the story that they were willing to be punished and be killed for, that story was the truth. That story came from credible eyewitnesses, and it came immediately after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so that faith that we have is a very credible faith. It's still faith, but through that faith, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have that great hope in Jesus Christ, that living hope because of the resurrection from the dead. That hope is in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. And for now, we're not there. We live by faith, and we are shielded by faith through God's power until he comes again and takes us home, and faith will become sight. Hope will become reality. And so how do we live now? Well, for those that Peter is writing to, and for many in our world today, we suffer sometimes. Things aren't quite right. This is a fallen world. There are difficulties in this world. Some of the difficulties are man-made. Some we bring on ourselves through our own sin. Some are the result of people who oppose what we stand for, which is the Word of God, the Bible, and what that Bible proclaims, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that living hope of the resurrection, the faith that is expressed by Christians worldwide. And because of that, there is suffering in the world, and that's where the last part of this great three-part message that Peter has in these first several verses in 1 Peter 1. We've seen the first two already in the last couple of lessons, that living hope that we have and that faith that is shielding us through God's power. And now the last one, starting in verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, is joy. Joy, which seems out of place when you're talking to people who have been forced out of their homes and out of their homeland, who are now forced in a place where it's not their home, it is unfamiliar, it is people who do not share their religion, it is people who do not share their language or their customs, and yet there they are. And because of the living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because we are shielded through faith by God's power, in all this, 1 Peter 1, verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, You believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The problem with giving up on Jesus Christ and trying to find joy and happiness somewhere else, anywhere else other than in the Word and will of God through Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, the problem with that is you are totally dependent upon your circumstances. And so if your circumstances are good, then you have joy. But when the circumstances are bad, you have nothing to be joyful about. And the type of joy that Scripture speaks of is the joy that the outward and external circumstances cannot take away. It is not just being happy on the surface, but rather it is something that deep down you feel a sense of joy inside that nothing can take from you, because the tomb is empty. Because inside you, you have a living hope and a living faith that through the power of God shields you during this intermediate time until Jesus comes or until our lives are taken from this world. And in all this, Peter says, you greatly rejoice. And the great thing about the Bible is it never denies that we suffer sometimes. Verse 6 says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Scripture never denies the reality of suffering. It never does. It simply says that the suffering we experience in this world, whatever the cause, cannot take away our joy. And in the midst of even suffering, we greatly rejoice. Again, it's not the kind of joy that denies the suffering. It's not a masochistic feeling that wishes evil and suffering upon ourselves or upon anybody else. But rather, it's a joy that says these outward circumstances cannot take away what Jesus has done in my heart. Peter goes on to say in verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Gold is a very precious metal, very precious indeed. And it can be refined by fire to make it even more precious. But the joy that we have in Jesus Christ comes because through the fire, through the suffering, through the persecution that we might experience from time to time, it demonstrates the genuineness of our faith. And that faith is of greater value than the purest gold. And the desire is that it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed from us and also from those that we come in contact with in our lives to try to help them become closer to their God, their Creator, their Savior, Jesus Christ, and give their lives to Him by believing in Him, repenting of their sins, changing their lives, confessing that faith, and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. We can talk about a few people that did that and what it meant to them. In Acts chapter 2, the first disciples on the day of Pentecost, less than 2 months, 50 days after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 3,000 people were baptized that one day, and the church was off and running, and every day more and more people were being added to that number, added to the church by making the same response of trusting, obedient faith. And they were rejoicing every day. They met together every day and encouraged each other and helped each other. The story in Acts chapter 2, in those first few chapters, that those first few years of the church's existence, is an amazing one. We fast forward to Acts 8, during the time when these disciples were forced out of Jerusalem and Israel, and they go up to Samaria, which is a region just north of the region of modern-day Israel. And Philip is there, and he's baptizing people. And as he does, they're rejoicing. And he is called to join himself to a chariot of an official from Ethiopia. And the man is reading Isaiah 53. And from that very scripture, Philip teaches him about Jesus. And they come to some water, and the Ethiopian official says, look, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe, you can. And the man makes his confession of faith, and they both go down into the water, Philip and the official. Philip baptizes him, and then Philip is taken away by the Holy Spirit to do more good works. But Scripture says there at the end of Acts chapter 8, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Because that's what you do when you come to know Christ. Not very far ahead in Acts chapter 16, there is the story of Paul and Silas on Paul's mission journey. And they're there, they're in jail, they're incarcerated in the city of Philippi. And after being beaten and flogged unjustly, late at night, they're there singing praises and hymns to God. And the jailer is impressed. And about that time, God sends an earthquake to get them freed, but they don't go anywhere. And the jailer, seeing that they could have escaped and they didn't, and hearing those songs of faith and praise, in spite of what he had seen, perhaps even had done, in punishing them unjustly, he throws himself at their feet and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they tell him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved." In that very same hour of the night, they teach him about Jesus. They teach him about the response of faith. And at that very time, in the middle of the night, this man and all of his family are baptized into Jesus Christ. And they have come to experience great joy because they have come to believe in Jesus. When they have that response of faith, that's what the result is. Great joy. And that's what Peter hopes and prays for as he talks about people and including ourselves having that praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We don't see him. We live by faith. One day we will. We love him. We love him by faith, Peter says. And John says in the book of 1 John, one day we will see him because we'll be like him. And we'll see him just as he is. And that day will come. But in the meantime, we have this living hope because of Christ's resurrection. We have this living faith that shields us by the power of God through all of these various difficulties and persecutions and struggles and trials. In all of those, we still greatly rejoice because none of those things can take away the joy that we have in our hearts. Paul says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so Peter says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yes, we live by faith right now, but we also live with the joy that we have in Christ, having that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that living faith that shields us by God's power, and now being translated into great and inexpressible and glorious joy, as Peter himself puts it. The greatest example of that I can tell you is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to these words from the writer of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's all he talked about in chapter 11, example after example of people doing great things by faith. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's got one more witness to share, and it's the greatest one of all. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12, verse 2, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus took his road to the cross the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is not something he wanted to happen. He prayed that the Father could find another way, but he also prayed, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus said, I don't want to suffer and die like I know I'm going to have to, but if that's your will, Father, for the sake of all these lost people like you, my friend, and like me, Jesus said, I'm willing to do it for the joy set before him. Not because he loved the suffering. He prayed that it wouldn't happen, but if it did, there was that inexpressible and glorious joy that Peter talks about that Jesus had deep inside of him. that even the taunts and the suffering and the beatings and the spit and the shouts and the hate and the nails could not take away that inexpressible and glorious joy. And we have that same joy. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, that's what happens when we suffer. That's what happens when we experience the difficulties of this life. Some that are just the natural way of life in a fallen world. Some we bring on ourselves because of our own sin. Some others cause because of their sin that we pay the consequences of. Whatever it is, it cannot take away your joy, because we have a living hope. Because we have a living faith that shields us by God's power until Jesus comes again. And because we have an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so even in the midst of the worst of circumstances, we face them with reality, but we also face them with faith. And we face them with hope. And yes, we face them with joy. Why? Because that's what Jesus, our Lord and Master and example, did. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, my friend, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you, my friend, even you, will not grow weary, and you will not lose heart. Why? Because we have a living hope. Based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because we have a living faith that shields us by the power of God, and because we have an inexpressible and glorious joy, because we have our Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you have a good day and a good night, and I will see you again on Thursday. May God bless you.